Thanks for downloading this IMSA Radio podcast. It's for personal use only and must not be broadcast, reproduced, or used in any form without permission.
Tell your friends they can get their own copy by visiting IMSAradio.com or search for IMSA Radio wherever they get their podcasts. The Porsche Carrera Cup North America on IMSA Radio.
Hello everybody and welcome to a brand new championship for IMSA 2021. We've seen single make Porsche racing on the shores for many a year. But this year, for the first time, we have a Porsche Carrera Cup North America. We also have the competitive debut of the new Type 992 Porsche 911 Carrera Cup car. And that is a big, big change from what we have seen in the past. Just remember, there have only been eight versions, eight shapes, eight iterations of the venerable Porsche 911. So the changes are worth talking about, and we'll run through them in our broadcast. It's Sebring International Raceway and it's the opening of the season. Two races this weekend on this historic airfield circuit that was the original host of the US Grand Prix and has history oozing from every pore, whether it's the concrete or the tarmac sections. 17 corners, just over 3.5 miles around. Your action areas, well, braking isn't a big thing at turn one, but sometimes you can tough it out down the inside. There is an opportunity at turn seven if you pick your braking area correctly, but it's a bit bumpy down there. Where is it not round here at Sebring? Hashtag respect the bumps. And coming into turn 17, the over, the under, the inside and the out, there's an opportunity to get a run for the line if you time it correctly. The Porsche Carrera Cup North America cars fitted with a brand new Carrera Cup Michelin tyre, the new Pilot Sport Cup N3, are rolling out of the back straight pit lane. Let's have a look. Let's have a look at the grid, and Jeremy Shaw is joining me, John Heindorf, for this brand new championship. And I think the only person who's even more excited about this than I am is indeed Mr. Shaw. Welcome to the new Porsche Carrera Cup North America season, Jeremy.
Yeah, so cool, John. We've got 23 992s, amazing field, plus 11 of the older 991s as well, all running ABS this season, of course, with the new cars. Let's run quickly down the field, if I can, if we've got time. 34 cars, number 64, Ted Giovannis at the back. Alongside him is Tom Balamis, number 59. Row 16, Joe Still in car number 8, and Joe Lombardo in car number 92. 97, Craig Conway in number 21. Grady Willingham making a return to the sport in the 15th row. Ahead of them on the grid, number 42, Bill Smith, alongside Philippe Marcien in car number 72. Car number 56, Frank Razzo and Jeff Milchak will share row 13 in car number 29. John Goetz in car number 57 alongside Tim Pappas in car number 54. Row 11 is Kurt Swearingen in car number 17 alongside Vernon McClure in car number 10. Row 10 is Tom Collingwood, car number 69, alongside Matt Halcom, who's second of the 991 contenders in car number 55 for Goldcrest Motorsports. René Robichaud will start in the 18th position in car number 84. The best of the 991 contenders, Kurt Hunt, on the pole position for that series, will start in the 17th position for ACI Motorsports. Row 8, Alan Metney, car number 99, and car number 88 for Hutton McKenna. Row 7, Jeff Kingsley in car number 16, and car number 65, Efrain Castro. That is the top of the Pro-Am class contenders, 13th position on the grid. But from here on forward, it's all pro cars in 992. Eric Johansson from Sweden in car number 14, and Sean McAllister from California in car number 2 will share row 6. Ahead of them, Sebastio Carrazzo in car number 27, alongside TJ Fisher in car number 58. Row 4 is Ryan Gates from Minnesota, making his IMSA debut in car number 11, alongside him Parker Thompson from Canada in car number 9. Row 3, on the outside, Dylan Murray in car number 38, alongside Maxwell pole route in car number 7. On the second row of the grid, Wiley Dickinson in car number 53 for Team Hardpoint EBM, alongside Kai van Berlo from the Netherlands in car number 3 for Kelly Moss Road and Race. Onto the front row of the grid, a brand new team, 311 RS Motorsport, represented by not a newcomer, but the veteran Lee Keane in car number 12 on the outside of the front row. But on the pole position, a brilliant job. He was quickest in a test last week, 20-year-old, third-generation racer from Guernsey, the Channel Islands in the UK, for the Kelly Moss Road and Race team in car number 15 is Seb Prio.
A young man with a bright, a young man with a very bright future indeed. Already knows the circuits. Has been plying his trade in IMSA competition as a multi-matic supported driver, and that is the livery on the car. A multi-matic, a huge engineering concern. Larry Holt, a man for whom the word genius might have been invented. He's got a great team around him as well. And Sebastian is here to try and win the championship and also to advance his career with Porsche. The Porsche Academy that we've had for young drivers in the States that Pat Long has been such an integral part of has now been turned into a full Porsche junior driver program, which means the best of that young driver crop from this championship this year will go across to Europe for a shootout to win a fully paid Super Cup season in 2022. That's the championship with these cars that supports Formula One. And from there, well, the world can be your oyster. Just ask Pat Long. He's been a Porsche factory driver for a very long time, and that has produced some stellar talent down through the years. First round of the Porsche Carrera Cup North America for 2021. First round of the Porsche Carrera Cup North America, full stop. And Sebastian Prio sets a fairly steady pace through turn 17. With Lee Keane for the 311 RS Motorsport on his right-hand side in the bright red 992 Carrera Cup car. Good jump from Prio further back down the road. Couple of people out of line there that might be looked at. Lee Keane getting eaten up, I'm afraid, by cars coming through. That looks like Kai van Berlo going down the inside. Riley Dickinson was in there as well in the Team Hardpoint EBM car. He's gone through into second. Super run to the sharp end of the field from Dickinson. Prio had such a big gap there going into turn three. Tom Christensen corner, Jeremy, that he actually took a really wide line. He didn't have to worry about someone coming up the inside. Job one done. I suppose you'd say job two done, actually, for Prio. Got the pole position and has now eased himself in to a little bit of a lead that he can defend. So down into the hairpin for the first time in the middle of the park. There's a spinner. That's the silver number 7 car that's gone around. Maxwell Roof for more speed, Wright Motorsport. And he's got the horrible, horrible feeling of seeing the whole field coming towards him. Puts the hazard flashes on the four ways. Whether that was a reflex action now, is there some damage to the right rear of that car as he hit the curb and turned around? So lucky he didn't get picked up.
I'm not so sure there wasn't some damage on that car before he spun around, John. He was to the inside line there, wasn't he?
Yeah, there's definitely a problem with the right rear of that car. And it looks like he might have a puncture on the left rear as well. And I think he got that when somebody squeezed by. But there was a rather too much toe angle and camber angle on that rear wheel for my liking when that car was sitting facing the oncoming traffic. It's a horrible feeling to have. It's only ever happened to me once on a racetrack, and I never want it to happen again, seeing the whole field coming towards you and having to go either side. It will be Sebastian Prio then for Kelly Moss Road and Race in the Multimatic sponsored car that will lead the very first lap of the Porsche Carrera Cup North America here at the 69th annual Mobil 1 12 Hours of Sebring. The gap was 0.2 of a second, and then there's a decent bit of a gap back from At second place, and another spinner, that's the Apex Motorsport 56 car that's gone around at the final corner, Jeremy. And that's facing the wrong direction as well.
TJ Fisher.
Just about gets
it. Oh, it's a 56 car, beg your pardon, not the 50. It's two Apex Capital cars.
Yeah, sorry, it's Frank Razzo.
Yes, Frank Razzo, yes, that's right. Rather than TJ Fisher, who's just outside the top 10. But that was a really good first lap there by Sebastian Priori. He timed that start to perfection. Well, Lee Key there, even with all Lee's experience, he was kind of caught a little bit napping there. And that's just the advantage of being on the pole. It's up to you to when you nail the throttle and get away off the line. That's exactly what he did. But Lee Key, though, settled into third position. He's got a little bit of ground to make up, but looks, this is a long race. It's a 45-minute race. Same distance as the GT3 Cup races have been in the past here in IMSA since 2005. So he has got so much experience. He knows he's got a fast car. It's been a really good debut for this 311 RS Motorsport team.
Yeah, very good start from Kai Van Perlo as well in the Kelly Moss Roden race. Number three, that's the white car with the green on it. That was the livery that won the championship last year, let's not forget. Riley Dickinson, I thought, made a good start as well. And of the top eight, seven of them are in the junior driver category. It is only, in fact, Lee Keane who doesn't qualify for that outside of the age range. Down into turn 17. Side by side to charges further back down the field. The silver car is the number two, and that is Sean McAllister for JDX Racing. So used to seeing that in full branded colours, and the bright, bright green is the number 38. That's the BGB Motorsports car, and that's got a famous name in it as well. That's a Murray. That's another second generation racer in that car, Jeremy.
Yeah, it is. Dylan Murray, the son of David, who had a lot of experience and a lot of success in Porsches for many, many years. And young David Murray, no question about it, he's a star in the making. He's been driving all sorts of different cars and, well, you name it, he's driven it, even though he's still only 19 years of age. We started off in karts, drove Legends cars, late model cars. He's been driving in the Michelin Pilot Challenge Series for the last couple or 3 years, had a few wins in there, and he's most definitely a big star of the future. That's Dylan Murray, who's driving that car number 38, that bright green car. I can't miss that one, can you?
And well inside the top 10 at the moment. Just as a little point of interest, I believe all the cars were supplied in the silver colour that you see Sean McAllister's. If it isn't GT silver, it looks very much like it, for those of you who know your Porsche colour charts. And it is a testament to both Porsche Motorsport North America and to Weissach, the Porsche Motorsports hub in Germany, who build these cars, that they were able to get them. They only came at the, I think it was the first week of the new year, was when they arrived. And to get them to the teams, to get them to a test, and then get them to this race, has been a fabulous effort from all concerned. Should mention as well, Dr. Daniel Ambruster, who I think I saw waving the green flag at the start of this, and how appropriate is that? He's worked so hard to get this Porsche Carrera Cup North America up and running. He was expecting 15 of the new cars, the Type 992s, which are battling at the front of the field. He's managed somehow to wrangle 23 of them out of Germany. And I'm not entirely certain how he did that. I'm not sure he's going to tell us either, to be honest, Jeremy. But quite clearly, this is the competition debut for this car. Oh, side-by-side action and a touch. 57 and 10, getting too close for comfort. That's John Gotts and Werner McClure, Wright Motorsports and TPC Racing. And my goodness, people having to pick their way through there towards the bottom end of the top 20. Oh, don't do that! And right in front, I can't believe it, pulls out right in front of another competitor who was coming up. Was that Frank Razzo coming back through?
No. I think it was a kind of a 59, actually, for Tom Balamas.
You're right, it was. It was ahead of Ted Giovannis, who followed him through for the ACI Motorsport, yeah. Well,
number 57 car there, John Goetz, he turned into the corner, but you know, Vernon McLuhan, number 10, he was already there as he turned through that that right-hander going into the carousel corner. And Tom Balames there, it's just, wrong place, wrong time, I guess.
Another set of suspension damage on the back of that car, more four-way flasher action. Didn't expect to see that much this early, if I'm honest. Tom has continued, but he's dropped a couple of places, and I think Frank Razzo has actually got past him. Yes, he has. They're on the far side of the circuit at the moment. So 23 of these Type 992s, completely new body shell for this year. Every one of the Porsches, even in the street car now of 911, are the what's we would term normally the wide body spec. For the first time in 911 history, the street cars have got different diameter tyres and wheels, front and rear, and that carries on to the race cars as well. The cup cars still using the 4-litre flat six engine for somewhere north of 500 horsepower. And the biggest differences in terms of the look of these cars, look at the aerodynamics on the nose, on the splitter at the front, and that swan neck mounted rear aerofoil sticking up around the back window. Now that is something that the teams have got to get their heads around, because it is far more adjustable than they've ever had before. 11 different positions available to them on that rear wing. The other change, of course, apart from all of that, getting to know a new car, a new aero package, etc., etc., well, there's also a brand new tyre. Michelin become the tyre supplier for Porsche Carrera Cup North America, bringing the championship into line with pretty much every Carrera Cup around the world. But because it's the new car, because they're different tyre sizes, there's had to have been a brand new tyre brought forward as well by Michelin. And again, absolutely in line with their street car tyres for Porsche. Porsche are a manufacturer who specify particular tyres for their cars, and in Michelin speak, they are N's. So whatever else they are, ZRs or whatever, even on your street cars, then there's an N and a number between 0 and 3, and that's the iteration of the tyre. So the first time they make it, it's a 0, then it's a 1, then it's a 2, then it's a 3. We are now up to the Pilot Cup Sport N3s on these cars. And the drivers have been loving them, Jeremy, and the lap times are not that far off a GT Daytona.
Well, that's true, yeah, particularly in favourable conditions. It's super hot and windy today, so these cars went to significantly quicker during the test session last week. The fastest time there was a 2:08.70 by Sebastian Prio. I put that into perspective, the pole time, which was set earlier this morning, was a 2:03.1, so a second and a quarter slower. Fastest lap in this race so far, actually set by Kai van Berlo in second position, a 2:04.114. And again, to put things into perspective, the old race lap record for the old style 991 cars was a 2:04.8 by Jake Edson. So already on the first flying lap, we beat that standard with these new cars, despite the fact we really don't have favourable lap conditions at the moment.
Yeah, very warm at Sebring. Lovely for the large crowd of spectators. The big race on Saturday, of course. And with just over half an hour still to go, it is Sebastian Prio that leads from Kai van Berlo. Then Lee Keane dropping around about 3 seconds further back. Riley Dickinson in fourth position. At three different classes here, of course, Jeremy. Two classes for the new 992s and the grandfather, well, we were expecting a dozen. I think we've got 11 who took the green flag of the previous iteration as one of those goes around. And that is the Goldcrest Motorsport number 29, Pro-Am 991 category. And that's the Myshak car. Now, what happened there?
Yeah, Jeff Myshak, interesting character. He's got very, very little racing experience, just straight a couple of wheels there on the dirt, and did a good job not to run into the back of that car, which was directly ahead of him. I think it was the car number 21 of Grady Willingham, who's a real veteran
correct.
Of this sport.
Which is his teammate, by the way. So that's another Goldcrest car.
Yeah, that's right. But most of the cars that are running in the 991 Cup class are in fact, run by Goldcrest. Most of these guys have been running for years and years in PCA, Porsche Club America Championships. But this guy, Jeff Myshak, he's brand new to the sport. I mean, his first race was last year. He's also one of the team principals at the 311 RS Motorsports, along with Ryan Gates, who's driving the number 11 car very nicely, by the way, at the moment, just outside the top 10. But Jeff Myshak, he's real kind of claim to fame in racing terms. He's not on four wheels, but in fact on two. He was one of the team principals at the Geico Honda Motocross team that had a huge amount of success for many, many years. Now, though, he's clear of that and he's concentrating. He wants to become a race driver. He's not in the flushes of youth, but hey, he's super enthusiastic. Had a really nice chat with him this morning, and he's done a really nice job for his first time in these cars.
Alan Metney still with the GT Silver colourway on his iFly number 99, and Alan is leading his class. That is the Pro-Am 992 category. So the top 10 are all the pros, and then Alan leads the Pro and Am class with a couple of cars in between himself and Efren Castro in second. And I would think that Alan would like to have been in the top 10, possibly even higher up, but he's got some real young charges against him this year, Jeremy.
Well, that's the point, John. You're absolutely right. I mean, in the past, we had 10 cars here covered by 1.1 seconds. We've never seen a field that close, well, not for many years, in the old GT3 Cup Series. You know, now the game has been moved up dramatically. We've got a whole bunch of young chargers in here. You talked about it before. There's actually 9 junior drivers who are under the age of 24 and eligible for that Porsche prize for next year if they complete the full season. And, you know, it's super tight at the front. There's a big spin.
Another spin. That is another Goldcrest Motorsport car. Third in the Pro-Am 991 category for the number 72 car. And that is Philippe Martien, who has got the Phillips Way car. Now, what was he doing all the way out there? I'm not sure that part of... Well, it's not the usual line round turn 17. He was a bit wide, and he actually did well not to hit anything there. The 991s do have their own category. Leading that at the moment is the ACI Motorsport driver, Kurt Hunt, in the number 24 car, in a very creditable 24th position overall.
And he's done a really good job as Kurt Hunt. This is just his 9th weekend of racing.
No.
Period. For Kurt Hunt. Yes. 41 years of age from Atlanta, Georgia. He's in the financial services industry. He bought this car. It's actually a car that Parker Thompson drove to second place in the Canadian Championship a couple of years ago. This number 24 car. It's been run by ACI Motorsports. And the sponsor on the side of that car is Shiver and Duke. Well, that's his wife's business, a boutique jewellery business, and it's named after his daughter, Shiver, who's age 9, and his son, Duke, who's age 5. Just love it. Real family sport. You know, he's brand new to this sport, but really doing a nice job. Again, I chatted to him this morning, super enthusiastic. He kind of got hooked into the sport when he went along to a track day, as so many people do, and they got absolutely hooked. And when Kurt Swieringen, who's one of the principals here at ACI Motorsports, took him for a spin in the car in the right-hand seat. That was it. Kurt was in and done and off and running. And he did 9 races last season in the old GT3 Cup Series. And now he's running hoping to run the full season here in this 991 Pro-Am Cup.
Yeah, it's great to have these cars for another season. They're a very elegant car, and that is a championship we'll keep our eyes on throughout the year. No let up at the front, by the way, whilst we've been looking at the other leaders. Sebastian Priaulx has not managed to break Kai van Berlo. They were 6/10 apart at the line. They're nothing like that now as they're over on the far side of the circuit. One thing that I was trying to work out on a piece of paper earlier on this week, and I failed very, very badly failed, to be honest. Mathematics was a double period on a Friday afternoon when I was at school, and oddly I didn't get to it very often. I was trying to work out the relative pace of these cars between the front of the field in the 992s and the back of the field in the 991s, and whether we might get a bit of lappery, and I think we will. So Sebastian Priaulx, at the moment, all he has to worry about, Jeremy, is Kai van Berlo behind him, which is quite a bit to worry about, let's be honest. But in about a lap or two, he's going to start coming up against cars that he's got to lap. Now, he will be quicker. It'll be Tom Balamis, who's the first guy that he comes up on. And then there's a little battle between the number 84 and the number 64. They're running back down the field. And I just think that that one might be a little bit different. That's René Robichaud, and he is in a battle at the moment with, as I say, another car, and they're having a cracking scrap in the pit lane. What's going on here? That is the 56. Ah, well, there's one problem for Seb Priaulx that he won't have to deal with then. Not in the pit lane, actually. Pulled off behind. I saw the Armco there and saw the car moving and thought for a moment that that car had gone behind the wall. But that is, in fact, in the Green Park area. So just over the back of Collingwood Curve. Collier Curve, excuse me.
Yeah, good battle between these two at the front of the field, and that second place car, car number three, running the familiar Racing with Children's colours from the Children's Hospital of Birmingham, Alabama, on the side of that Kelly Moss car. That's the car that's won, well, numerous championships over the last few years. Kelly Moss Racing, or Kelly Moss Roden Racing as it is nowadays, just had a massive amount of success in this championship over the years. They've had a total of 71 wins since 2000, starting in 2007, and they won five championships, including three of the last four, I guess. So that car is a completely different car, of course, this season. Kai van Berlo looks there to try and make a move on Sebastian Priaulx. Priaulx has to keep the door firmly closed as they come down towards Sunset Bend.
Jeremy Shaw and John Hindorf with the first round of a new championship, the Porsche Carrera Cup North America. New cars, new tyres, new opportunities for the driver who wins the championship, and certainly for the junior drivers like Sebastian Priaulx and Kai van Berlo. And just underlining as well, Jeremy, the international draw here. Yes, of course, we do have a lot of American-based drivers. I'll get back to that thought in a moment, because now Tom Balamis has pulled off and he hasn't quite made it to the main pit lane. These cars are actually pitted in on the back straight where the WEC cars would have been if they'd been here this weekend. They aren't. But I'm really heartened, Jeremy, to see the international interest from some young pro drivers coming over here to try and further their careers.
Yeah, it's great, isn't it? It's absolutely superb. Yeah, I think this championship just got a huge shot in the arm. And there was a lot of, I think it's fair to say, there was some sort of skepticism as to whether it's going to take off. And these cars are certainly more expensive to run, I think, than the older 991 cars. They're certainly a fair bit more sophisticated, a lot quicker as well. But it's there's no shortage of money around, is there, it would appear. And what's great is that there's a lot of people giving opportunities to these young drivers to make a name for themselves. That's what's really cool about this Porsche Carrera Cup.
down across the start-finish line. Two wide, almost three wide into turn one with just under 23 minutes to go. I'm impressed at the pace that's been shown at the front of the field as well, Jeremy. And these guys in the 991 Cup category are going to be here for the whole season in that category. More 992 cars to be allocated, of course, for next year. And there's no reason why we couldn't have somewhere near or perhaps even over 30 cars, 3992s next year, which would be outstanding. And this is the first championship to get the new cars. Not the first time that's happened, actually. The IMSA series has had the new iteration of cars first in the past. But this is a real feather in the cap for Porsche Motorsports North America. Just watching the times further down the field. Fastest lap in Pro-Am has gone to Alan Metney. Fastest lap in the 992 Pro category is to the second place driver, Kai von Berlo. So in his efforts to chase down Sebastian Priot, he has clocked the fastest lap.
He has, and that was on lap three. And he hasn't. The pressure has not relented on the race leader, Seb Priot. We saw a couple of times on the last lap in particular, he had to kind of defend the inside line, heading down the back straight, down the Alec Olmon straight towards Sunset Bend, turn 17. But it looked for a moment like Kai van Berlo was going to sort of prize open a gap there, but he wasn't able to, and Priot still leads. But this is a super battle out in front at the moment. 20 minutes remaining, John.
Yeah, and this is the time. You know, we're in well inside the second half of the race now. And one of the things we've talked about for a very long time is these 45-minute races for Porsche Cup in the USA. It's about a stint in a GT car, and one of the things particularly these young drivers are having to learn here is how to manage what is going on with the car, what is going on with the in 2021 Michelin tyres, and get the best out of them. Now you can go off as if you've lifted the afterburners at the front, and it is a sprint race, let's be honest, at the start of the race. But that's when the car's at its heaviest. You're burning off the racing fuel. Bit of lappery going on here. But Sebastian and Kai make that look very easy indeed, with a little bit of help, in fairness.
Yeah, I think that was Ted Giovannis there.
It was.
Keeping well out of the way there. Hats off to Ted. He's the most experienced, life experienced driver in the field. And he did a good job there, used all the experience. He's had a lot of success in driving as well. He'll be in action also this weekend in the Pilot Challenge, the Michelin Pilot Challenge Series race, 2-hour race tomorrow as well. So again, some good track time in for that.
Yeah, I wonder what's left, not in the tank, but as far as performance is concerned for these two drivers at the front of the field. They've pulled out to over 5 seconds. Lee Keane has done a cracking job, and he's not been under challenge since the start, really. Riley Dickinson in fourth place is another 1.4 seconds further back, and he's got the same gap on Parker Thompson for JDX in fifth. And then Dylan Murray is only half a second further back in sixth position. So that's a decent little battle, and Parker Thompson's had to put his best lap of the race in last time around to stay ahead of Dylan Murray for fifth and sixth. That's not the right line there, Jeremy.
No, I think not. No, that's Hunter McKenna there running a little bit wide and losing 14th position. And he just got in the brakes a little bit. Oh, okay, he was making a move to the inside. Okay, well, you still got a little bit too deep. You could brake late, but not quite that late, Hutton. He's a second generation racer. His father runs a very successful Porsche dealership in California. And if that car looks familiar, it should do, because McKenna Porsche has had a fair bit of success in the past.
Side-by-side contact there going down the back straight. And that was TJ and Sebastian Carrazzo battling over 7th and 8th. You have to be a little... I know these cars have got fenders on them, Jeremy, but the wheels are really heavily cambered, both front and rear, and side-by-side contact like that can cause damage. And looks like another place is going to be lost there by Sebastian Carrazzo in that highlight, the yellow car. Oh, and TJ's gone off. He's going to have to rejoin, and he's sort of sideways, sort of not. He's hit the barrier. Oh, oh dear me. That all started back on the exit of turn one. He jinked to the right to try and miss some of the sponsor signage. I thought he was going to rejoin, but I think he may have done some suspension damage in there. He's in amongst the dust and kicking it up. And then there's a couple of roads. Oh, huge, huge buddy hop over the circuit. Opts there for the short track, and that's what did the damage. Massive airborne moment, and as he's come down, certainly the right rear suspension, I think, has gone. But that is not what these Porsche Cup cars are made to do, Jeremy.
Yeesh. That's scary.
Man.
That's a wild ride. I mean, you know, he finally hit the fence about a quarter of a mile away from where that accident started.
Yes. Damage to the front end, damage to the right rear suspension at the very least. We're still under green.
Is that going to bring out a caution period there?
Well, he's got there, so somebody else could. Yes, it has.
Yes.
Full course yellow. And, well, now Lee Keane will think all of his birthdays and Christmases have come together, as will Riley Dickinson and Parker Thompson, because the 5.5 seconds that the leaders had between them and the rest of the field is about to disappear. And of course, as soon as the yellow flag comes out, TJ gets first gear and tries to creep that car with the Apex sponsorship back onto the track. I would advise against that. I really would, because he's done the radiators at the front end of that car. He's done some suspension damage at the back, and who knows what else he's done. I mean, that was, what, 6 feet off the ground at the back of that car, at least, Jeremy?
Yeah, that was a long way in the air, wasn't it? That was a pretty scary run for TJ Fisher.
Just misjudged the exit. Goes to the right of the WeatherTech signs, and in between that and the barriers. And he thinks he's got away with it. But the cuts for the other track layouts are raised above the grass areas. Of course they are. And that's what sent the car up in the air. Well, he has got it going again. Maybe he hasn't damaged the rear suspension. It's just the way the bodywork is sitting around it. I'll take that back. That's extraordinary.
Well, yeah, but he certainly isn't going to be a contender from here on, that's for sure. I'm sure he'll be bringing that car back to the pits, and he'll be hoping there's no damage to the radiators there at the front.
He's leaking
as well.
Fluids.
But, you know, turn one,
he's leaking
it's notorious. Yeah, exactly.
He stopped.
Smart move. And, that's a great shot, isn't it, of those... that water leaking out of the front of the radiator. That's a great shame for TJ Fisher, youngster from Vacaville, Northern California. Started off in the open wheel ranks, had some success there, and then was pretty much out of racing for 2 or 3 years, but got an opportunity to come back last year when David Baker stepped out of the Apex Capital car and was looking to help a couple of young drivers, one of whom was TJ Fisher, and he's now on board, I think, for the whole season this year. That's running with the top racing team out of Texas. And hats off to David Baker for giving this opportunity to this youngster. Unfortunately, it's going to end up early this day for TJ Fisher, but better days to come. And, you know, John, it's super tight. It's certainly super difficult, that exit of turn one. The temptation there is kind of throw the car sideways right as you're sort of tracking out there. But if you do that, often the rear wheels would just grab in the dirt and spit you across the racetrack over the other side. So, you know, the smart thing to do there is try to keep your hands sort of straight and keep it in a straight line. And I think if you made a mistake there, it was not to take out that polystyrene barrier. He went signage for it, I should say. If he'd annihilated that, he might have been able to get back onto the racetrack without hitting that access road, because it's the access road, as you correctly said, that pretty much put paid to his efforts to get back to the racetrack.
The other thing as well, Jeremy, is, and it's a lesson that any race driver will learn, some quicker than others, when you're off the track, you cannot go at the speed that you would think you were going when you were on the track. You really need to start thinking about slowing down. Right, I'm not saying jump on the brakes, although the ABS on these cars would have helped him there. But if he'd lifted and tried to just coax the car to the left-hand side, whereas he hit that at pretty much unabated speed, that access point, and I don't think he helped his cause there at all. I mean, the mistake.
A little bit unlucky, for sure.
Mistake came before that, in fairness. And we can all be wise after the event. And we're sitting in the comfort and safety of a commentary box and not strapped into a 500-plus horsepower 4-litre flat-six Porsche. So, not going to be overly critical. But I definitely think you're right about take out the sponsor logo. I'm sure IBSA have some more, basically.
Yes. And we're a good bit less expensive than the bits on the Porsche, that's for sure.
Mm.
Yes. But this is going to liven things up. And you talked about Lee Keane going to be able to profit from this. And with all his experience, he didn't quite have the pace. He was just falling back a little bit, but only by a couple of tenths of a second or so a lap from those first two. But Brio, he definitely had his hands full there with the fellow youngster, Kai van Berlo. Both of those two drivers are just 20 years of age and separated in their birthdays by only about a month, actually. And they were just, they're both very, very talented youngsters. Lee Keane, he's the veteran driver in this group in third position. But Riley Dickinson, he was hanging there right with Lee Keane, only a second or so further back. Parker Thompson from Canada, there in the fifth position, just a similar margin back he was as well. And another youngster, Dylan Murray, another teenager, Dylan Murray, rounding out the top six. Hats off here to Erik Johansson from Sweden, the car number 14, qualified in the 12th position. He's got that MRS GT racing car up into the top seven. And the MRS GT team, new to North America, well known in Europe, of course, but they had problems getting into the country with the COVID restrictions. So they picked up the cars late. The deals were only done in the last couple of days. They missed the test day last week. So for Erik Johansson, who's only announced in this car, I think yesterday or the day before, his first time in North America. He's a former BMW junior driver, in fact, is Johansson. But he's been racing in Europe with some success in the last few years. And he's running there very nicely in that seventh position.
Jeremy Shaw and John Hindhoff, hello there. Just under 10 minutes to go. And Sebastian Priol will have to do the start again. Now, at the beginning of the race, when he was side by side, of course, he was quite slow through turn 17 and then built up the speed from the centre of the corner out, and that worked very well for him indeed. I think Kai van Berlo, though, had the second best start because he jumped up first to third and then into second position. And a good run up the inside. Oh, and another problem for Bill Smith this time. The 42 car, another mainly GT Silver machine. And that is ground to a halt. I don't see damage on that car at all, Jeremy. Or has he spun it?
I think he is. He's pointing
the wrong direction.
Out of tower turn. Yeah, he's supposed to be going the other direction there, Bill. He was running six, by the way, in the Pro-Am class in the... in the 992 category. So he's certainly going to lose some ground here and fall to the back of the pack. And hopefully he'll be able to get going again. Lights still on the safety car, though.
I'm not sure whether we have some very considerate race drivers or there is a default setting on the four-way flashes, because every car that's had an incident at the moment at this race so far has... The four-way flashes, the hazard flashes, as we'd call them in Europe, have been deployed very quickly. And not something I'm used always to seeing on race cars. We're not going back green anytime soon, though, Jeremy, are we, with just exactly 8 minutes to go?
Yeah, no, it's good. Bill's at least got that car pointing sort of kind of in the right direction. It might be on the grass and the dirt, but at least he's going heading back towards the pit lane now.
He's got a left rear tyre off the rim. Now, cause or effect, I'm not sure. Yeah, it's exactly so, Jeremy.
I would suggest certainly you're under yellow, you're spinning there. It's the left rear tyre in the right-hand corner. Perhaps that tyre just was had a problem with it, which caused the spin. We don't know that, of course, but he's certainly got a problem now. And I think if the smart, he's not far from the pits. The good news is, as the whole tyre tread comes off the rest of the tyre.
Yeah, the pits are on the entrance of the pit are on the entrance to turn 16, which is the Le Mans corner, which goes on to the back straight, and he'd be able to pull into there. There's a few places here, more than a few places here, where if you drop your wheels and tyres over the edge of the kerb, well, it looks spectacular because you get on the dirt, but it's actually coming back on, and it's the inside shoulder that takes the knock, or can often come up against the sharp edge of the back of the kerbs. That would have been a very hot tyre there that our AMR safety crew from IMSA picked up in the Porsche Cayennes. And you do have to be a bit clever here, Jeremy, and not overuse the outsides of the circuit. Safety car lights are out. That's good news. So coming round to just on 6 minutes to go, we're about halfway round here, and the bright red Porsche that is leading them around has the lights turned off. So Sebastian Priot knows that they'll be going green. The flat six engines singing in the distance at the far side. What you can't do is speed up and slow down, and Sebastian has caught up a little bit too quickly to the safety car there. Bit of weaving left and right.
Yeah, no gamesmanship here in IMSA competition. The chief steward will be all over that one, that's for sure. The new chief steward this year, by the way, at least new to this year, is Randy Buck, but he's been a race director for a long, long time in all sorts of different championships, including many, many years with the Skip Barber Racing School. So he knows Sebring like the back of his hand, I can tell you that. But he's a really good guy, and now Seb Priot has slowed right down again. You're not supposed to do that. You're supposed to maintain the speed of the safety car. He's pushing his luck a little bit here.
I'd agree with that, Jeremy. Kai van Berlo has no issue with it, because that's exactly what you'd see happening in Europe, speeding up and slowing down again. One or two of the other guys behind were very close to having incidents there, because once you start going, you tend to keep going. And I think you're right. I think we might be having a word here. Coming down to turn 17. The safety car has gone.
Weaving around either, to be honest, John.
Well, in Australia, as soon as the safety car lights are out, you've got to stay in line. It's as simple as that. There is no weaving around. And this is the sort of thing that young drivers need to know. There's a bit of an overlap there from Van Berlo.
That is not good driving. That is not good driving, Sebastian Priot.
Well, Van Berlo had an overlap there as well, just trying to stop himself running into the back of the car. He's got a decent restart. Priot leads then, and then a big gap further back down the field. 4 minutes when we hit the green flag down the inside. That was a good move there from Parker Thompson, who was, I think, making up a position there. A spin further back down the field is the Stars and Stripes coloured car. That's the 14, if memory serves.
And yeah, that was Eric Johansson, who had been running in the seventh position.
He'd not be happy with that. That's one of the MRS GT cars. Seen those guys race an awful lot in endurance in the 24-hour series around the world. Side by side. Go ahead, Jeremy.
Yeah, side by side, number 12 and number 9. That's Parker Thompson, who's trying to get past Lee Keenan, And he's made a good restart there, has Parker Thompson. And Lee Key now is having to do everything he possibly can to keep the young Canadian behind him. He's taking a defensive line into Tower 2. And meanwhile now, Riley Dickinson is trying to have a run back, such as Turn 10, a run back on Dylan Murray. Those two side by side towards Tower 2.
That's three corners now, Jeremy, that they've been door handle to door handle. I'm not sure what's going on with Lee Keane. The original start and the restart weren't great for him. And, oh, further back down the field, one of the ACI cars getting in a tangle with the 92. That's Joe Lombardo in the Kelly Moss Road and Race car. Now, it was an ACI car, so who was near Joe? Not sure. It wasn't Kurt Hunt, was it? The 991 category leader.
It certainly shouldn't have been anywhere near it.
I wouldn't have thought so. Wouldn't have thought so, Jeremy. It is going to be a white flag this time around, I think, with just under 2 minutes to go. Yes, indeed. Priol leads from Van Berlo. Third place, Lee Keane under pressure from Parker Thompson, who certainly got the best of the restarts. Three wide down the inside into Turn 1. That's going to be very tight as well. Alan Metney's right in there in the silver car to the inside wall of Turn 1. And Alan has lost the lead of the class and is fighting back with Efren Castro in the yellow and blue car. Castro's got to the lead of that category. And there was a touch there. Then the McKenna Porsche right in behind as well. He's in the pro category, then Swearingen, and then Collingwood. So the top four in Pro-Am with the interloper of McKenna in between them. And that's been a perfectly timed restart then for Efren Castro in that bright yellow and black Porsche, who goes to the head of Pro-Am as he started the last lap, 10th overall.
Yeah, and right behind that little battle, by the way, was Kurt Hunt. So he's just fine. He's running in the 15th position in the head of the 991 categories of pass up front.
And that is the category lead again. Metney in the iFly car going past Castro. That's the Hardpoint EBM. Bright yellow machine now back into second in the Pro-Am version of the 992s. At the head of the field, the Multimatic driver in the Multimatic liveried car is Seb Priol, and he leads handily by a second and some. He might be, I think he'll be getting a little bit of a talking to by the stewards.
Yeah, certainly a fair bit of gamesmanship there. Hey, look, all's fair in love and war. Those two are teammates, of course, so they can fair talk point about it afterwards, but that's certainly not what is normally expected in IMSA competition.
Perfect start to the season, fastest in the pre-season test. Pole position and a win for Sebastian Priol. Through in second, his teammate Kai van Berlo and Lee Keane for 311 RS goes through in third. The battle for the Pro-Am is going to go the way of Alan Metney with a sprint to the line. Efren Castro giving it absolutely everything. They finished 10th and 11th overall. Swearingen will be third in Pro-Am, with Collingwood in fourth, and then Tim Pappas coming through to fifth in the Pro-Am for JDX Racing, and in the 991 category, 16th overall for ACI Motorsports, Kurt Hunt. Then it was Halcombe, Willingham, McClure still for the top. Oh no, that's McClure's in the 992 category. So that was your top four then, down to the Goldcrest number 8 car in 20th position. Well, plenty of talking points there, Jeremy. Not least the pace at the front of the field by the youngsters. Lee Keane, the sole non-junior driver in the top eight, held up very well indeed, as you'd expect with a bit of experience. That 311 RS Motorsport car on the podium. Metney from Castro, we've sort of seen that before, Swearingen in third. That's shaping up already after the first race to be an interesting season. Hunt, Halcombe and Willingham in the 991 category. But certainly some talking points on the restart there with just 4 minutes to go. Sebastian Priaulx perhaps still finding his feet, but has raced here in IMSA competition before. What we don't know, of course, is what was said in the driver briefing.
Which there wasn't. It was a virtual briefing.
Virtual briefing, of course. Yeah.
Yeah, but I'm sure that Randy Buck will be having a word with these guys there before the race tomorrow, and just to lay down what is allowed and what isn't. That's certainly not the norm here in IMSA. In Europe, of course, all is fair in love and war, but that would be just fine. But over here, driving standards are a little bit different. And Sebastian, he's been racing over here for a year or so now, so he knows the standards that are required. And I don't think there'll be any repercussions that will have any major effect. But I think certainly the chief steward, or the race director, I should say, will make his presence felt. But that was a great drive by Seb Priaulx. Take nothing away from him.
Good
he
point.
Really earned that victory. But Kai van Berlo in the second place there. The two 20-year-olds really did a nice job. And Lee Keen there, a fine third place. And in fourth place for JDX. So Kelly Moss won two again. But behind them are just a string of different teams. 311 RS in third, JDX in fourth, BGB in fifth, and Team Hardpointer EBM with Riley Dickinson losing a couple of places at the restart, but rounding out the top six.
Well done to Alan Metney, who wins Pro-Am, and to Kurt Hunt for ACI Motorsports, who's taken the 991 category. What a great start to the new championship and the new championship season for the Porsche Carrera Cup North America. Well, if that's whet your appetite, then good news. We've got round two from Sebring later on in the weekend. It's on Friday, live in sound and vision. No blocks, no breaks. More of the same, please. Jeremy Shaw and John Hindhoff enjoying our Porsche fun at Sebring International Raceway.
This programme is a radio show limited production. For more, check imsaradio.com and subscribe to IMSA Radio wherever you get your podcasts.